Another Monday, and you know what that means here for Prep Sports Now. We're looking ahead to Friday. Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer, presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the wheel, hands on the road. Big week once again. I know I say that every week, but some great games last week. I was at Arborview beating Centennial. You were down in California, Ray Brewer, watching Bishop Gorman just spank Servite. What was it, 35-0, 42-0?
42, baby.
42-0, and I think I may have just found out why they beat them so bad. You showed me a video of Servite doing some bizarre military thing. Maybe they should spend more time working on their offense and less time doing this march or whatever it is you just showed me.
It's called the Hut Drill, and Servite does it before and after all games, after win or lose. So they did it after the Gorman game.
You lose 42-0 and you want to start doing some synchronized dance?
Tradition for the Friars. Listen, my first California high school football experience, very cool. It was a little breezier outside, a little cooler. In fact, some of the Gorman coaches had on the pullover, which I thought was very interesting. And Servite brought a few people to the crowd. They did the Hut Dance before and after, and it's just a great tradition. In fact, Ron Smeltzer, who's an assistant over at Cimarron, used to be coach at Servite. And when he – go ahead.
Head coach?
Head coach, from what I understand.
Wow.
And when he also was a head coach in the CFL before he came to Vegas. And when Coronado opened in 2001, he was the head coach at Coronado, and he tried to get them to do the Hut Dance, and they did it while he was the head coach. And it's just cool for Servite because they got those all-black uniforms, and they do a uniform, and the fans are there, and it's just a great tradition. And, you know, we kind of miss out in Vegas because, you know, I'm a high school football junkie. You're a high school football junkie, or at least you are when we do the show. And just to see the kind of tradition and the following they have in California. And you know, there's some games that you go to here in town and you're like, am I at the JV game or where are all the fans at? And not like that in California. Love the Hut Dance. And Gorman put a whooping on those boys too, Case.
They did. I am not sold on the Hut Dance. I'll just leave it at that. I don't need to attack
you wouldn't
it anymore,
do that at Wichita Catholic or wherever you
way. Went. Wichita Collegiate. No, we're not doing any Hut Dance.
It's
I mean,
the tradition.
What's the point? You're laying on the ground and hitting your pads? I mean, how much time do you have to put in to install that? It's like cheerleading.
It's like the haka. How much time do you think Liberty spends?
The haka is a little bit different to me because it's like stooped in tradition. It's all these kids that were island kids. They grew up doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but
and,
there's non-island kids yeah, okay. that have to learn it.
And yeah, but watch.
It's discipline.
Yeah, but watch
it's
when
tradition.
They do it. Watch when they do it. They're not like gung-ho on everyone do it exactly right. They're doing it. They get fired up to do it. This thing at Servite, it was like every single kid had to be exactly right. I didn't go out for cheerleading for a reason. It's like, how much more time do you think the kids doing this Hut Dance spent than the guys on the Haka Dance? Maybe I'm wrong, but I get the sense of the Haka Dance is like, ooh, we're fired up, we're ready to go. And I like the end of Servite's thing that you showed me. I like when they jump up off the ground and start hitting each other and getting fired up. That's awesome. I would be wanting to hit someone too after I'm dancing for 20
no,
minutes.
It's not. It's a drill. It's like a military.
Yeah, okay. Is Servite have ties to some military?
I don't know
about?
It's a private all-boys school.
It would make sense to me, I guess, the military thing. I said it looks like a military thing. Maybe if it's like, I don't know, like colleges. I'm thinking of Texas A&M, you know, has military ties. They do military stuff. Maybe if Servite is like right next to an Air Force base or something and I didn't know about, I take back what I said. But I don't know. I was not a fan.
It's not like Servite is this, you know, lower tier program. This is Servite.
Well, yeah, I know.
Power.
It's a huge program.
People jump over each other to go play for Servite. Getting to do the Hut Drill is an honor. The kids take pride in it.
I would think it's more of an honor to go play football and hopefully beat some good teams or at least keep it competitive, not lose 42-0. But anyway.
It's a down year for Servite. Gorman gets healthy, answers to critics about their defense. Servite doesn't run a play inside the Gorman 20. Closest they come to scoring is a shanked field goal attempt. Nate Starks only played in the first half, roughed his ankle up a little bit. Three touchdowns, about 180 yards rushing. Took one to the house, 81 yards, where I was standing next to Sam Morse, our photographer, who provided some awesome images from the game. And he stopped shooting because we thought Nate Starks was tackled. Burst through it, beat everybody to the house. Stud run, stud player for Bishop Gorman.
yeah, I'm sure Starks and those guys had a huge game, like you said. But what we got to talk about the defense, right? That's what we thought was the weakness of this team. I thought that might be where they could get exposed in this game. Maybe I thought it was going to be close, and they shut them out. You know, what was the difference? Just a week ago, we saw them giving up a ton of points, obviously to a much better team, but they had to do something different defensively.
Well, I think the team had to do a lot with it. Servite was just getting pushed around up front. Gorman, you know, put a few new players in. Robert Stanley, who done real well rushing the passer, played a little bit on the D-line. Trajan Allen, who got banged up a little bit as well, played some linebacker. And Gorman just they broke down the film, Tony Sanchez says, and they realized that they had a hard time on third downs. They were letting up too much on third down. So every down in practice the week leading into Servite was, let's pretend this is third down. Let's get to the ball. Let's rally. And, you know, it was a challenge. And they took the challenge. And even when Gorman got ahead and you could tell they were going to win, they were playing for that shutout. They were playing for that challenge. Where I think maybe in past weeks, like the St. Louis game, for example, they were up by a similar score. And because it was a TV game, they couldn't do the running clock. And so they kind of thought that they had already won. And St. Louis got some garbage yards and touchdowns. Well, this game, they got ahead. The running clock started, and there was no stopping it. And Gorman completed the deal, the shutout. Now they're in league play, game, set, match.
Good boost of just some confidence in Gorman. I'm not sure they need it. I think they're going to win the rest of their games pretty big here. But good way to end the national slate. Look, at the beginning of the year, these four national games, I think if you would have told me that they were going to go 3-1, I would say that was a success. I know they probably wanted to go undefeated over there, but I think they did a good job in winning mm-hmm. 3 of the 4.
And you have to remember, at the beginning of this, everybody's like, well, you know, Gorman lost the big three up front, Stanley, Scoggins, and Strelo. Their offensive line's kind of down. You know, defensively, they lost a few guys, had to replace virtually all their linebackers. And a lot of people questioned Gorman. And while they would have been the Nevada power, could they, you know, do what, you know, they did nationally? And that's go 3-1, and they answered the critics. And I think one of the things that stood out for me is, against Servite, 10 people caught passes. And this wasn't like garbage time catches that you get when you're beating, you know, Sierra Vista by 50 points. This is like third quarter, game still kind of in question. And, you know, Morvel Singh is catching a pass. And, you know, guys, I got to look down on the roster and find out who they are. You know, they're using a tailback who hadn't carried the ball all season because two other guys got injured. And I just think that having the, you know, a second string that's semi-capable is another thing that falls into Gorman's favor. Of course, Case, you know, they're going into league play. They open with Legacy. And I don't expect, and I don't think you do either, Gorman to be challenged again. I'm very curious to see how a league game against Centennial is going to turn out, even though Centennial, as we'll talk about, you're not impressed with at all.
Great lead-in.
Great, yeah, you were at the Centennial Arborview game, a power – running physical nature teams, and Arborview was bigger, stronger, more physical. Even though they only completed one pass, Arborview clearly the better team. Centennial has no offense. I'm curious to see how Gorman will play against a Centennial or an Arborview. I assume a 40-point blowout win.
But. Yeah, I was kind of kicking myself. I mean, I still picked Arborview. I still thought they were going to win the game. So not totally, but, you know, for the first 2-3 weeks of the season, I was so high on Arborview. I was telling you they're going to beat Palo easily. They're going to beat Centennial. And you kind of talked me down a little bit. I think we were sitting in this exact podcast room, and you said, I don't think Arborview's that good, bro. Well, let me tell you what, bro. They're really, really
well,
good.
Well, bro, I just when I saw that they got out, they didn't score against Green Valley in the second half, and you got to realize I went around all these practices, and when I went to Green Valley, was not impressed at all. I thought Green Valley was bad, and for Green Valley to rally like they did, I thought Arborview wasn't that good. Turns out Green Valley's a lot better than I thought.
Yeah, that's true. So Arborview really. You know, if you read my story, you saw what I came away most impressed with was defense. You knew they were going to score some points, probably about what they did. They have, I mean, they have the backs. They have about 5 of them that they use all are very good. The Speaks kid had a breakout game. They also have Boyce and Larry Norman. But defensively, they were just so dominant. Centennial really did absolutely nothing except for one stretch before halftime. They went and got set up a field goal to be down 14-10. Their other touchdown came because Arborview fumbled at the one. The Arborview front was the best I've seen this year. Now, granted, I haven't seen Gorman. The defensive front, granted, I haven't seen Gorman, was just by far the best I've seen this year. I know I kind of forgot to mention in my story, or I looked the numbers wrong or the rosters wrong or something, but the Steven Davis kid is a monster. He blows up play after play. They have this kid, one of their defensive ends, his name's Nick Sellers. He looks like, I mean, this kid's probably like 6'4", 200 pounds. He looks like a string bean. Looks like not a guy you think would be a football player. Let me tell you what, this kid had two of the hardest hits I've seen all year. It hurt me just standing on the sideline how bad this kid was hit, how hard this kid was hitting, excuse me. I think that's just whole Arborview's whole attitude. I was so impressed with them. I mean, they really just destroyed Centennial.
Yeah, and I think if we were to set a line on this game going in, Centennial would have been the favorite.
Well, we talked about it on the podcast last week. This is why I'm kicking myself. It's because you offered to give me 3.5 points, and I said I wanted a little bit more, which is just ridiculous. I should have known. But yeah, I agree. Centennial.
So Arborview's the second best team in the Sunset, if you had to rank the teams. Gorman, Arbor, Centennial, Palo, even though
No doubt. But I think that Arborview Palo game is going to be really interesting. I'm not – just because Centennial – it never works this way in football, even though people want to use this transitive property, so to speak. Just because Centennial beat Palo and Arborview beat up Centennial does not mean Arborview is going to beat Palo. I said they were at the beginning of the year. I'm not backing off on it, but it should be a competitive game.
Yeah, and of course Palo Verde, with its monstrous schedule, finds a way to get past Canyon Springs. They'd score on a long 96-yard pass. Parker Rost, Ryan Bouye. They hold Canyon out of the end zone. Canyon's at the 5. They got a few chances to get in. Our colleague Patrick Kulikin was at the game. He kind of gave us a play-by-play. And the general consensus was Canyon probably gave one away.
His general consensus, I don't think he would mind me saying, because he's not stooped in the high school football community like we are, but he said Canyon was the better team. He thought Canyon was a little bit better and, you know, couldn't make the plays when it mattered. They got inside the 10 twice and couldn't score. Palo Verde had one passing attempt on the night, and it was the 96-yard touchdown to Bouye. They had two, actually? Okay, well, excuse me. I was told they only had one. But still, obviously, it was a really close game. These teams are pretty evenly matched.
And I think
Canyon might have given one away, though.
I think the lack of passing from Palo speaks volumes to what Canyon's biggest problem is, and that's what we've talked about on the podcast before, is just the front five or six guys, Canyon doesn't match up against Arborview, Centennial, Palo Verde, and we'll see this Thursday against Liberty. They're just getting pushed around. Well, they have one or two guys that can compete. 1 through 6, they can't. And if somebody goes down, they can't compete as well. And so while Canyon's got a great player in Donnell Pumphrey.
Although you're a hater, even though he had 190 yards.
I'm not a hater. I think he's good. I think Nico Capelli's better. On record, right now, UNLV got the better player in Nico Capelli. That's the truth.
If we're talking about high school careers.
No, I'm talking college future, high school career. Capelli is better than Pumphrey.
Oh, because his high school career has been much better. School career, it's between this year. There's only two guys that are at the level that Nico. Only one other guy that's at the level of Nico Capelli, and that's Anu Solomon. Those two guys, obviously.
Island Warriors representing, yeah, baby!
I mean, those two guys, obviously, if we're talking about best just
seniors,
high school players.
Seniors.
Yeah, and sorry we're going back to this from last week. I just didn't really like how it came off totally. Because maybe we shouldn't have said best players. If we're talking about best players for the last few years, those two are it. But I'm talking about this season. The best player this season is Donnell Pumphrey. There is no doubt in my mind. And if you were voting for anyone else for player of the year so far, you were absolutely insane. The guy is the sole reason why
Canyon
Springs
in the newsroom. What about Devontae Boyd?
Yeah, Devontae.
He put up 250 against Bonanza. What are you doing?
That guy is another one in the conversation. I think he's not quite at the level of Capelli or Solomon for his career, just because they seem like they've always had one other guy. They only haven't had to totally lean on him. Not that that's his fault, but this year, reason number two why he's not quite at the level of those two guys is he hasn't just been absolute this unstoppable until this year. He's great the last 2 years, but I think those two guys were the keys of their offense.
You've seen basic play. Is Jalen Rose throw the ball like Joe Montana? Or I just can't figure out. Basic's putting up 60 points a game.
I think you might kind of underestimate the Rose kid. He's pretty good.
He wasn't even their starter last year. Now all of a sudden he's putting up. What did he pass
for? Hey, listen, he's got
354 yards.
Yeah, he's got the best receivers maybe in town other than Gorman. But the kid's also really good. You had never really told me about him. So the first time I saw him, I was like, how have I not heard about this guy? He's he can toss it around a little bit. He's no joke.
Okay, well, everybody knows Antre Johnson, at least according to me, is the real deal as a junior. No doubt about it. I think he's great. A basic one of three undefeated teams out there, Boulder City, Moapa being the other.
How crazy there's only three.
And Arborview, of course. Four undefeated teams. They're equally as good. The one thing I do want to talk about before we get to the picks, I know everybody's fired up about it.
I don't think Arborview, Basic, Moapa, and Boulder are all equally good. I got to disagree.
Equally
there.
Good on their levels.
Okay.
Okay. Basic's a good team in the Southeast. Arborview is a good team in the Sunset, and Moapa and Boulder Division 1A powers. And actually, Moapa lost, FYI. Sullenberger game.
There you go. So we only have three
take
undefeated.
Take them off the list.
You were right the first time. We only have three undefeateds.
First time for everything. Hey, does anybody play defense anymore?
Oh, yeah. This is what you wanted to go off on.
I can't figure out how Devontae Boyd gets 250 yards receiving. Alex Cater from Silverado almost rushes for 400 yards against El Dorado. Cheyenne gives up 47 to Western. Are you kidding? 47 to Western?
And how about Milo Lewis had 8 touchdowns with 16 carries?
Yeah. Milo Lewis scores 8 times? Oh, that game, I must have got over it Saturday afternoon. I can't figure it out. Durango had 51. There was 80 points scored in the Foothill game.
Who scored all the points for Foothill? Oh, it was the Dixon kid.
Yeah. Liberty, 49, no big deal. Moapa Valley, 45. Mojave, 45. I mean, Moapa Valley, 54. I mean, the Legacy, 70? The Legacy scored 70.
Who's scoring for Legacy?
Who knows? Where's Ice Isola? They got shut out in the third quarter. How do you score 70 points? There's like a running.
They scored 68.
Same thing. Rounded up 68. Legacy.
That's true. So I guess what you're trying to get at, looks like the running back for Legacy, Julian, last name, had a huge game, 200 yards, handful of touchdowns. So what are you saying?
This guy's going to Canton? I mean, can we tackle? That's all. I didn't play football, but you got to think if you're giving up 70 points a game or 250 yards receiving, you ought to think about your career. I mean, this is embarrassing. I mean, here's the problem, Case. When I was a kid, Chaparral, mid-90s, powerhouse, there was 12 high schools. Every head coach was qualified, high caliber, Darwin Ross type. The assistants, like Charlie Jarvis at Palo Verde, like Ted Ortal, guys that could have been head coaches, quality guys. Playing JV meant something. You got good coaches on JV. Now, if you're on JV, you're wasting your time because the coach is some guy that runs a youth program and nobody has a JV team because there's not enough kids. And all the head coaches, half of them aren't qualified and their assistants aren't qualified either. I mean, you can't have – this brings down Nevada high school football. 54 points, 8 touchdowns, 72 points. Nevada is that's embarrassing. Could you imagine if Gorman had to play Western this year, if they didn't realign things, they could have scored 100 if they didn't call off the dogs.
100? They could have scored 200.
It's embarrassing. I mean, these scores are embarrassing. Bonanza gives up 59? 59 points? How are you giving up 5 touchdowns in a quarter? If 5 touchdowns in a quarter, there's 12 minutes in a quarter. Like, you have to try really, really hard to give up that much. At least hold the ball and run some plays and run some clock. It's an embarrassment to high school football. And that's why I'm walking the Bergen Catholic sideline when they lose to Gorman. And I'm talking to the administrator and a few people at Bergen Catholic, and they're like, yeah, Gorman's was a little overrated because they play in Nevada, and we hear they're beating up on cupcakes. Well, shoot, there you go. 250 yards.
The basic's pretty good.
I mean, basic's, hey, dude, they're good.
When the game I was at, they scored against Durango, who is not part of this crazy rant you're on. We know it's good. They scored 3 touchdowns in a minute and
Matt
7 Gerber,
seconds. Coach, I agree with you. I agree with you. But, I mean, it's just like 250. This is like, remember when you were a kid and you'd go play like street football? You know, it's like 3-on-3. Or you had 7 kids and one guy that could throw was the designated quarterback. And every play was like, okay, go long to the light pole and try to catch it. This is what Vegas football is. Okay, go to the light pole, turn around, catch it, and then this lineman's going to come lift you up in the end zone, touchdown. And that's exactly what happens. 70 point legacy, 68 points. 68? You gave up 68 points? Are you kidding me? How do you score 68? If Gorman scores 68 points, Case, you know what happens? They got to go have a hearing in front of the NIAA. You got to hire lawyers if they score 68. I mean, seriously, the first time Gorman puts up a 70 and people are commenting about public-private school garbage, show them what legacy did to them. Legacy. That's all I got.
All right. Well,
let's get to the. You got anything?
I have nothing. Now that we've lost.
Can I get that off my chest?
Now that we've lost 75% of our listeners by you insulting them, I guess.
No, I'm not
insulting
anybody, but how do you give. I mean, and I'll talk to the coaches at Cheyenne. They listen to the podcast.
You're not insulting anyone, but you just said most of the coaches in town are not qualified for their position.
No, I'm just saying they're good guys, but you can't give up 72. You cannot give up 72 points. I mean, if Milo Lewis touches the ball and scores every time, either he's really good and we're talking like Hall of Fame, or there's something going on. I mean, it's to the point, I covered one year a two-way playoff game between the Meadows and like Needles, California, in case they didn't even kick off. Every kickoff was an onside kick. And I was like, I've never been to this. I've never seen this before.
Arborview got an awesome onside kick in the game, by the way.
So I'm like, why are you onside kicking? I mean, every time nobody kicks off, he goes, if we kick off, we got nobody that can make a tackle. I mean, it's what it's come down to. I mean, it's not football, bro. This is like, anyways, I just can't figure it out. I mean, 380 yards rushing. It's like it's nothing. Alex Cater, 380 yards. 380 yards rushing.
Maybe we're just having some great individual performances.
This kid, dude, some people's careers, they don't get 380. 1 week, you realize if you play 10 games, you're going to get 4,000 yards at this rate?
Haven't there been a lot of points scored the last 3 years? Why did it just trigger your awakening this
week? Not like this. Are you kidding me? 72-47, 56-21, 51-14. 54-0, 49-3, 72-13. Come on. Play some defense.
All right.
I'm like, this is the whole part of football. Like, make a or maybe the offenses are that advanced. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll leave it to you to say that. I will say. I'm allowed to say that.
It's my job.
I don't have anything to say.
My job is to tell you the truth.
I have nothing to add. Although okay. This was a lot like some of the rants I heard when I covered the Big 12 5 years ago, and they went on all these spread offenses started going everywhere, and every game was like 56-31. It's calmed down now, but they're the same rants people were going on back then. Now the defense has caught up. It's not quite like that, although it's still a lot of points. I think you might be overreacting a tad, but I guess it made the listening experience better. Okay. Now that we've only got 5 people listening, why don't we get into the picks?
Now we're going to go give our picks, and every game, if I say it's under 50, laugh at me. Go ahead. Let's
probably
give
won't
the picks.
Be many. All right, well, I don't have them in front of me. But
hold on. Let's first of all, folks, you could download us on iTunes. I want you, right?
Yeah, you can download on iTunes.
We've got like 300 people doing that on iTunes. Join the club.
yeah, that would be a lot of fun. And please don't unsubscribe because of Brewers rant.
Okay.
anyway, why don't we start with I don't have the games in front of me.
Sierra Vista at Durango.
All right, well, I guess my suggestion just goes out the window. You cut me off, but that's
that
fine.
That was on the list first. I got the list.
I was going to say we should start with the biggest games because we didn't get a chance to talk about them between you yelling about all these coaches.
Go ahead. I got to make two coffees.
Hey, we don't want to We don't want to skip over the Trailblazers and the Mountain Lions and make them feel like they're not a big game. So now we got to start with them. I'll take the Trailblazers big.
I'll take the Trailblazers big as well. They scored 51 last week. Sierra Vista gave up 56 against Del Sol. You guys do the math. Durango big.
Yeah, Durango big. All right, now what I was saying is maybe we should just – there's two really big games in town, I think two that are bigger than any – other game this week. I was thinking maybe we could spend a little more time on those here at the beginning. What do you think about, just because it's the one I see first, and I know we want to build up to the next one, is it your favorite game every year? Canyon Springs and Liberty, top five teams? Definitely two top 10 teams.
Yeah, two of the top teams in town, and I really think this will be a preview of the Sunrise Regional Semifinals, which is also the Sunrise Regional Finals, which would be the state semifinals over Thanksgiving weekend. Listen, we could joke all we want or try to compare all we want Capelli and Pumphrey, but they're two elite players. And because of that, I think both teams are pretty much a shoo-in to reach the finals. This is going to be a great game. Great athletes, physical style of play. I just think that Canyon Springs is one notch below Liberty. And when you factor in the lines, I think Liberty dominates. Plus, it's at their house. I think Liberty is one of the only people that has a good home field advantage because a lot of people come out to that community school. I like the Patriots.
You're making my points for me. You factor in the lines. What I'm saying, look at what DJ Pumphrey is working with this year and look what he's doing. Liberty is the second best team in town, I think we agree. They have every spot, they have a kid that's talented, that deserves to be there. I'm not saying Canyon isn't like that, but Pumphrey has a lot less to work with over what he's doing. That's why I'm so impressed with what he's doing. I think Liberty is going to smack around Canyon Springs pretty bad. I think they're going to win by at least two touchdowns. And I know that's tough to say about a team. It's a top five team in town, but I was so impressed with Liberty when I watched them. Like I said, I think they're well-rounded. I think, you know, in addition to Capelli, you got Kai Nakua coming around to be an elite player.
He scores every time he touches.
You've got Jay Mitchell, who is explosive. You've got some great defenders. I like Liberty big here.
I do, too. And both coaches, Hunky Cooper from Canyon and Rich Maraca from Liberty, two of the best quotes around town. They're great to talk to. Hunky Cooper told me a story this summer about how their off-season program was kind of catered around beating Liberty, that they knew they had to get bigger up front, and they were lifting. And for as much as a crutch as their line is, it's 100 times better than what it was when they lost them in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Who's the worst team Liberty's going to play the rest of the way? I'm trying to think of it.
Well,
I'll get to my point if we can think of it real quick.
Foothill, because Foothill's so banged up in league play. They play Coronado and Foothill, and the verdict's still out on Coronado.
No, okay, they play El Dorado. Could we just, like, ditch the El Dorado game? And let me see, what day is that? That's October 19th, the same day Arborview plays Sierra Vista. Perfect. Let's have Sierra Vista and El Dorado go play and make this Liberty Arborview games. I want to see who the second best team in town is. There's kind of this weird rivalry going on between these two schools that are so far away. They're clearly 2-3 to me. I want to see these two play. It's never going to happen, but this is the game I keep thinking of. They've kind of got this he said, she said thing going on, and I really want to see these two teams
play. I do
too.
And I think there'd be a few 15-yarders in that game, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I guess this is only in my dreams. I can create the two teams.
It's kind of like that Canyon Bishop Gorman basketball game we
never got to see.
Yes.
I'm going to have to make these two teams in NCAA football 2013 and see who wins. But, it'll never happen. But, hey, last year, Western, once they got disqualified, Arborview did it randomly end up playing Bishop Gorman.
Well, could we get somebody disqualified then? Two teams disqualified.
Can we just raise some money? And
can we get some fifth-year seniors playing for what school?
Las Vegas Sun presents Liberty versus Arborview?
do we have the insurance for that?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. All right, anyway, well, I just really wanted to throw that in there because I think they're the two best teams in town.
I agree with you. Good point.
All right, Green Valley and Basic, we got to talk about the Henderson Bowl. I know these guys are excited to get in this game, and I'm actually very surprised. You act like you were kind of split on who to pick here, but you just picked Basic 54-33.
Well, shout out to Green Valley because they are a lot better than I thought they'd be. Beating Coronado to me was very impressive because a lot of people in town were telling me that Coronado could be up there as one of the top three teams in the Sunrise. So for them to beat Coronado and rally to beat Coronado was super impressive. Christian Lopez is proven to be the answer on the ground and in the air at quarterback and just a sophomore, so he'll only get better for Green Valley. And I thought that, you know, Green Valley with its solid youth program, you know, was going to be a year or so away because those kids were sophomores and juniors. But those sophomores and juniors are playing a lot older than they are. Henderson Bowl case, my favorite game, been covering it since, you know, the late 1990s. Basic, as you know, the original high school in Henderson. Green Valley came second, natural rivalry created. Blue collar, old Henderson, white collar, new Henderson. The rivalry played out on the field. I'm not naive. I understand that Basic would rather beat Foothill. Green Valley probably takes a little more pleasure in beating Coronado. But this game, you got the trophy on the line, the history, the fact that you only get to play in the game once in your career. It's a magical night. I enjoy the game. Good crowd. I'll take Basic.
Coronado's really a bigger rivalry than Basic for Green Valley?
Uh-huh.
Seriously? Wow. I guess I've just been around you too much and did not realize that because
well, yeah,
you play this one up like it's
Instigator Nation against Coronado's cheering section, you know.
The great Instigator Nation versus Coronado's cheering. No, I'm not making fun of Instigator Nation. I love the name. I think it's a great name, but then I thought you were going to come out with like Cougar's Corner or the Cougar Den, and you come out with Coronado cheering.
I don't know what
section.
They have as their nickname, but the Instigator Nation, I know, hates Coronado.
I know we got some Green Valley listeners. I'd love to hear on Twitter which is the bigger rivalry, because I got to think Basic's the bigger rivalry. That's all they ever talk about.
I think that just because the trophy's there for the Henderson Bowl and the history of that, and I love the end of the Henderson Bowl game when the coaches are like, okay, don't go get the trophy until you shake hands. And, like, literally they race through the line shaking hands because everybody wants to go get that trophy first, and likely because our photographers are by the trophy, so you get your picture.
Hit us up on Twitter, at Case Kiefer, at Ray Brewer 21, Green Valley. Tell us what the bigger rivalry is. I say it's the Henderson Bowl.
And
no
help
way.
Me get to 1,000 followers because I'm very close.
Yeah, help Brewer get to 1,000 followers. I'm going to agree with you here. I got Basic, but I do not think they're winning by 21 in a game this big of a rivalry.
Ooh.
Should this be our $5 bet of the week?
I mean,
there's no way they're
going to
be
points.
Well, yeah, you could give me what would you make the line on this?
Basic minus 9?
I want to know. I want at least 10. At least 10.
I'll give you 10 and a half.
Let's revisit. We'll see what other games we disagree on because that's tough. I think that's about what it is. I was going to pick Basic by probably 13, so that's probably not a good one for
me. I highly doubt Green Valley has anybody that could guard the Vontae.
I'm now up, I think, $10 on the $5 bets, by the way.
I think you are. Yeah. Who knows what we picked last week?
You guys are all thinking I'm out of it in the picks. I'm now in the lead after last week. I went 15-3. So don't be writing me off so quick and say I'm going to be the one ordering all the pizzas at the end of the year.
Yeah,
because I'm winning right now.
Brewer had a bad week last week and everything he did. It was a rough week.
All right.
Other games.
Yep. But we both like Basic and we both like Liberty. Let's get on to the rest of the game. So we've already talked about Sierra Vista and Durango. So we're on to Spring Valley and Arbor View. You said to kick you if you had a game where you didn't say more than 50 points. This one, you only have 37 points being scored.
I don't know why. Should be 57, but maybe Arborview calls off the dogs. They win at least by 37.
Yeah, I like Arborview here, too. The scary thing about Arborview, the only last thing I have to say about them is they're so young. They're going to be great for the next few years. I mean, they got sophomores. They even have some freshmen they're trotting out there. This isn't like a – you know, they've had, what, 3 straight years now where they've been good? This isn't about to go away. They're going to be a force for a long time.
And I tell you, it starts in that weight room. Nobody has more kids in the weight room than Arborview.
Right.
Well, at least it rivals what Paolo and Liberty and Gorman do, but a lot of kids in the weight room.
Right. Okay. Arbor view for both of us. Shadow Ridge at Palo Verde. Palo Verde is probably going to get up to that winning record here in the next 3 weeks.
I would think so. I also would think that Palo Verde won't be challenged again until they play Arbor View the last week of the regular season.
Can't wait for that one. Ways away, though. Bonanza at Centennial. We know Centennial already beat Palo Verde, and I'm not trying to pile on Centennial, but I did text you while I was watching the Arbor View game when they just did not look that great. And I said, I can't believe this team beat Palo Verde. I'd like to see the films. What I've seen from Palo Verde, the one game I've seen, and the one game I've seen from Centennial, if I knew nothing else, if I had just those games to go off of, I would have made Palo Verde probably a touchdown favorite. But they lost.
Well, Palo Verde controlled Centennial. They gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown late where two kids basically didn't make a tackle. And then the last drive of the game, Centennial got a lucky pass, and then they ended up scoring with some momentum. So it's debatable. It's a game Palo arguably should have won, but who knows.
But so you're going with the upset this week, Bonanza over Centennial?
No. I got Centennial.
All right, I got Centennial too. We both like them big. We'll go on to the next game, Legacy at Gorman, which we already kind of talked about. Let's not ask for Brewer score because they don't go off on how teams shouldn't score that much. But who do you like in this game?
I like Gorman. No big shock there, but interested to see how Legacy, which we know has got some talented players, plays against Gorman. This is a new game created with the new league. So I am semi-curious to see how they play. Are they going to be like all teams that go into Fertitta Field and say, oh, God, this is Gorman, I'm afraid, and lose? Or are they going to try a little bit? Should be interesting to see. But I think Gorman wins big. You got to think Legacy could score, though, if they put up almost 70 last week. So maybe they do get a few touchdowns.
I dove headfirst into the Coronado hype pool, and maybe I should have calmed down a little bit, not gone so crazy, because they gave up a lot of points to Green Valley. Seems like the defense wasn't quite as great as we were making it out to be. Do they bounce back this week hosting Rancho?
I think they bounce back. Anybody's going to bounce back, unfortunately, against Rancho right now. Like I said, I talked to somebody last week who proclaimed Coronado as – one of the best teams in the world, but clearly they're not. Green Valley, again, I've said it on Twitter. I've said it to nasty emails. Shout out to the Gator Nation. They proved me wrong.
Well, there you go. Foothill at Vegas, finally a game we disagree on. I think this is a kind of a toss-up. I think Foothill, you know, we've seen them start slow in other years and kind of regain their footing. I think they did the first step to that against Desert Oasis, who they beat pretty handily, even though the final score didn't look like it. I think Foothill goes to Las Vegas and hands the Wildcats their first loss from an in-state team.
I just don't – I haven't picked against Vegas in 3 years until last week. I thought Cimarron was just going to be able to run the ball down their throat. Vegas is far from a finished product. Offensively, not as good as they've been in years past, considering who they lost. That's probably the reason why. But I got to give them credit for playing some good defense against Cimarron. The Davis kid got free maybe just one time. I got Vegas winning this game. Foothill, Tyler Morse is out for the year with the ankle injury. They've been injured at linebacker. Somehow they beat Desert Oasis, though. I don't know. I got Foothill. I mean, Vegas, but I'm not too proud about it.
They still got Jay Maddox, at least.
Jay Maddox.
Hey, I want to go back and mention. I have no idea how I forgot about this. This is all I really care about in the Bonanza Centennial game. How about two great kickers on both sides? You got the Austin Rowe kid at Bonanza, and then the Centennial guy. I'm not going to lie. Should I even try to pronounce his
go
name?
Ahead.
Blake Frischknecht.
Kicks the junk out of the ball.
The best, the best I've ever seen a kid kick in high school. I mean, the ball just goes. It's just insane. The reason the game was even kind of stayed close, I feel like against Arbery, I feel like he was their MVP. He's by far their best player. He pinned him inside the five a couple times punting. He made a nice, I think it was like a 35-yard field goal, maybe shorter. I don't know.
He's allegedly supposed to be playing soccer at BYU. He was a soccer kid last year. Scored three goals in one half against Clark in the playoffs and then broke his leg. And now he's playing football. Apparently, Still going to try the soccer thing at the next level. I would say as soon as coaches start getting film on him, that might change. Don't know if he's a LDS mission kid or not, but BYU could always find a good spot for a kicker.
He could kick just about anywhere he wants. I love this kid after watching him at the RVU game.
I would pass on BYU and start sending out some films to some major schools and see what happens.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean,
I would take Maddox in a kicking contest, though.
I don't want to get into another kicking debate. I'll say that I've seen them both.
Do we argue about kickers every week? Well,
yeah, I'm not trying to argue because I like all these kids, but I'll say I've seen them both in the games this year,
mm-hmm.
and Maddox had one really bad miss, and I can tell you that this Frischneck kid,
mm-hmm.
I mean, every single kick he made in pregame, mm-hmm. and postgame, and before game, it's going in by 20 yards.
Here's the deal. Maddox, I think, is got the details and the mechanics of kicking down pat, where this kid's just got a big leg.
Yeah, that could be
for
right.
For whatever it's worth. Anyways, enough with the kicker talk. Every year we debate the best kicker.
All right.
We got some. What about the Fitzgerald kid from Liberty?
Well, I need to see him. I haven't seen him yet. I've seen all these
you
other kids.
You watched the Palo game, didn't you?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in person.
He kicks the rock pretty good. He's only a junior, so next year he could be our all-sun kicker.
Ooh, there we go. There
we go.
All right.
Now we need to find that punter. Every year we call around. Anybody got a punter? Any punters available? Okay, go ahead.
This kid should have been our punter. It's Centennial. Great punter, too. Del Sol at Silverado. I was kind of hoping that you were going to Silverado here because I kind of like Del Sol in this game. Seems like they always play Silverado tough, but you're also going Del Sol.
I always go Del Sol. I think the Dragons. I still think – I'm still shocked that Del Sol lost to Cimarron. I like Del Sol. Even them up at 2-2. See what happens.
I guess I'll go Silverado just to make it interesting. Like I said, wanted to pick Del Sol, but it's so close that I'll go on the other side of whatever
you're
on.
What about over-under rushing yards for Alex Cater, 359?
He's not getting 359.
Well, I don't know. He had 366 last week.
Against your beloved Del Sol, he's going to have that much?
Who knows?
All right, Thursday night game. Every Thursday night game this year so far we have split on. We've had one side or the other. I think this one's going to make history.
If we split on this one, I'd be shocked.
Mojave and Western.
I don't see Western winning a game this year until they're still lacking enough bodies to properly even have a conversation.
Yeah, this is a really tough one for me. Not Mojave.
Okay. All
right.
Okay.
Cheyenne at Pahrump Valley.
Shocked that Cheyenne gave up 40-some points. I don't know.
They were trying some new things in the secondary, putting some new kids in there just to see what they could do. And,
is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what Cheyenne was trying to do.
When I made that comment about the coaches, was it not all at all about David Cochran? I think he does a lot over there at Cheyenne, and he does a good job. Shocked they gave up that many to Western. I actually think they're going to struggle at Pahrump. It's a pretty long road trip to make for the first time having to do it. Remember, they were in the Northwest last year. I think they win, but I think at halftime, if I'm a bet man, I take Pahrump first half.
If by struggle you mean win by 30 instead of 40, then I agree. Cheyenne all the way. Faith Lutheran at Clark. Two teams that seemed to be in winnable games last week, and neither of them won. So both looking to get back on track.
I know. Listen, from what I hear, Faith Lutheran turned the ball over 8 times. One of the tougher losses that program's had.
Talk about inconsistent. That seemed like they're like one of the better teams one week, and then the next week you're like, what happened?
I know. I can't figure it out. They're kind of like Silverado, like a painting.
All right. I'll take Faith Lutheran over
Clark. I'm going to take Faith Lutheran, too. Clark might not win a game this year.
Okay. Desert Pines at Sunrise Mountain. DP loses again last week to Boulder City, but I got them bouncing back and beating the Miners.
I hear you. I agree.
Okay, Chaparral at Moapa Valley. You are finally off your Cowboys. I think Moapa Valley is going to win a state championship this year.
Oh, Truck, don't say that.
And,
Trucky, they're going to start a nat. They got like they've won 59 straight games.
Upset special, Moapa Valley over Truckee.
Where's that game at?
You're asking me?
I think it's here.
You would know.
No,
it's here.
It's going to be here, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get Keith up and Truckee all fired up. Moapa Valley's good. I don't think they're Truckee good. And I haven't seen Truckee, but they win every week, so I assume they're decent.
These kids are already thinking about Truckee. It's all they've thought of. They beat them, what, 3 years in a row?
Yeah. Listen, Chaparral should have beat Virgin, 4 turnovers. My Cowboys could be undefeated. I'm curious to see how they do because they are bigger and stronger than a lot of teams. But I got them losing.
All right. Well, we're going to finish off with probably one of the best games of the week, in my opinion. Boulder City at Virgin Valley. Boulder City, to me, is a little bit better. They're undefeated. Defensively, they're great. They got this whole arsenal of running backs they can throw at you. But they have to travel to Virgin Valley. Virgin Valley has been much better at home. They can throw around the ball. Maybe can do a few things Boulder City hasn't seen yet. Probably the best team Boulder City's played. I don't know who to go here. Who are you going with?
I'm taking Virgin Valley, my travel routine. I just think that Boulder City to Mesquite, a little bit of a hike. If anybody's prepared to do it, it's Boulder City, which traveled to Mesquite and Overton in every sport the last 59 years or whatever it is. I just think that Virgin's a little better. We'll see. If Boulder wins again this week, I think I've picked against them every week. I might have to start singing a different tune.
I like Boulder here. My thing is Boulder, they've got so many guys. Like I said, they got all these running backs. It's a different guy every week, whether it's DJ Koopman or J.D. Owens. But it seems like they have a secret weapon, and the Xavier Steele kid's probably their most talented guy, and he doesn't even get the most carries every week. I think if they ever get in trouble, they're going to go to this kid, and he's going to have a huge game. Maybe that's this week, but having that kind of security makes me confident in the Eagles.
And I think for Boulder City, the fact that they play more than two league games is a bonus. Because
right,
remember last
right.
year, the crappy league.
Yeah, last year, the league no good. League much better this year.
Well, thanks for listening. If you made it to the 50 minutes of our podcast, Prep Sports Now, brought to you by our friends at the Department of Public Safety. Don't text and drive. Do me a favor.
Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. We'll be back next week.